friends, if you look back over the last year, you probably have recognized a theme. If I look at what Jim's preached on and what I've preached on, they fall in about three categories. And if you ask yourself, why do we hear the same thing over and over? It's because God's telling us to tell you that. And at some point, his patience may run out. Spurgeon, he ran into similar things too. Yeah, they were a very quickly growing church back in the 1800s. But he struggled with this just as many as pastors do today. Spurgeon was quoted as saying in one of his sermons, "First then, I will take it for granted that every believer here wants to be useful. If he does not, I take leave to question whether he can be a true believer of Christ." Spurgeon reached a point where he stepped on toes. And here we are here today, and my heart's heavy as I feel I'm in the same position, where I have to take leave to question, are we true believers at all? Do we want to be useful? I read for you this morning from Luke chapter 5. And we have an account of Jesus calling the first of his larger group of disciples. And they're fishing. Now Matthew 4:19 is another of the same account, but it has a verse that many of us should already know. We've heard it over and over. And we're going to look at this verse and spend time with it today. Matthew 4:19. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Again, Spurgeon, this was one of the topics that he preached on many different times. He tried to take many different angles, so did Christ. From looking at it from the standpoint of a farmer, from looking at it from the standpoint of a vine, from looking at it from the standpoint of a tree that bears fruit, and even from a standpoint of fishermen. And Spurgeon said, "If you are saved yourself, the work is but half done. Until you are employed to bring others to Christ, you are as yet but half formed in the image of your Lord. You have not attained to the full development of the Christ life in you unless you have commenced in some feeble way to tell others of the grace of God. And I trust you will not find rest to the sole of your foot till you have been the means of leading many to the blessed Lord Savior, who is your confidence and hope. His word is, 'Follow me,' not merely that you may be saved, nor that even that you may be sanctified, but 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Christ doesn't want us getting saved and then getting comfortable and setting and watching the rest of the world try to figure out who he is. We're to be fishers of men. And somebody who buys fish at a grocery store is not a fisherman. Somebody who goes down and casts the rod is a fisherman. Somebody who lays the net is a fisherman. That lowers the trout line is a fisherman. But the people that watch idly by and eat of the fish that is caught are not fishermen and are not obedient to the Lord. They're only doing half the work. He calls us to be fishers of men. Now, there are different types of fishermen. There are those that actually use the lure and the rod. There are those that use the trout line, those that use the net. And in the account that I read from you this morning from Luke, they were fishing with nets. Let's go back to that just for a second. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Verse 4. Now we read this and we see this and we can't really account for it as much unless you are a fisher that uses nets in the Sea of Galilee. But it says verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now this is in the daytime. Now when we started this verse early on, it's in verse 2, it said, and saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. They were cleaning their nets at the end of a long night of fishing. They fished at night in the Sea of Galilee, in the shallows, because that's when the fish would come out of the deep to come feed in the shallows, to come swim in the shallows, and they would cast their nets in the shallows. And they'd spend their nights doing this. And in the mornings, they'd lay their nets out and they would clean them up so they'd be ready for the next night. So when Jesus got in the boat, he wasn't stopping them from doing any fishing of real fish at that time. Fishing time was over. And any fisherman knows there's a good time to fish and there's a not so good time to fish. And there are good places to fish out and fish at, and there are not so good places to fish at. And these were professional fishermen. This is what they did. So they knew the ins and outs of the sea. They knew its deep spots, its shallow places, the good places to cast. And they had been doing this all night. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And that's our first example of being fishers of men. See, we think we know how to go fish. But God gives us instructions. And he looks to obedience from us. Because he asks us to do things that don't make sense to fish for men. And he told them to go out into the depths and lower your net. And Peter's response was, I've been fishing all night. I didn't catch anything. But okay, it's what you say. We'll go try it. And they caught so much they needed help bringing it in that their boats almost sank. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This last week, I was in San Diego. The first morning there, now we were staying at a hotel across the street from the convention center where my wife was spending the first part of the week at. And I was there in the hotel room when the cleaning lady showed up. Now we were staying at the Hard Rock Hotel. It was right across the street from Convention Center. Had some 50 rooms. And this little cleaning lady came in, knocked on the door. She spoke a little bit of English, and I spoke a little bit of Spanish. And we talked. Now, her first comment when she came in the door is, it's not a mess. And she told me how that morning she had been spending her time walking around nude bodies with vomit everywhere. The results of an orgy. You see, she opened up the windows to our hotel room and showed us a tent just not maybe 20 feet from our window. That had been set up with beds inside of it so that swingers could meet each other and then go on up to their hotel rooms all weekend. That's what she had been cleaning up all morning. She got to our room and saw that it wasn't in a chaotic mess. We talked for a little bit, and eventually I explained I was a preacher. And the words out of her mouth is, "You are in the wrong place." We talked a couple Sundays ago about Daniel. Daniel found himself in a foreign land, amongst foreign things, contradictory to how he'd been raised. But he was there for a purpose. As we walked the streets of San Diego, the homeless came to us, the panhandlers, the undesirables. And I say undesirables because they were chased to and fro from restaurant to restaurant. I almost got arrested myself for looking like one of them. And how we treat the weakest of our society is a reflection of our society. The first that came to me asked for some money, and I gave some money. And as soon as they walked away, I was convicted. And God hit me hard, and he jumped up and down on my shoes. And he said, "The world can give these people money. And they do. Here you are, my delegate in a strange land. And I bring somebody to you." And you let them walk away. The next opportunity I was given, we were crossing the street over lunchtime. We were in the middle of the crosswalk. And a man said, "Can I have some money to buy lunch at Subway?" We're to be fishers of men. And I said, "Yes, but I want to ask you some questions first." And I broke out my tackle. And we stood there and we talked at the corner for, 3 to 5 minutes maybe. And I asked him, "If you were to die now, where would you go?" He says, "Oh, I believe in the guy upstairs and I don't believe in the guy downstairs." And I said, "That's not what I asked you." And we went round about a little bit, and finally he said, "I think I'll go to heaven because I try to do good." I said, "You have no confidence in that. That's not what Jesus taught." We will be held accountable. Not just me, each and every one of you will be held accountable for your time here on earth. We'll talk about how we fished for fish and what we caught and what we didn't catch. We will spend hours fishing. We'll make whole parties of it. But when it comes to fishing for men, we wait for a preacher to talk about it. How many lures do you have in your tackle box, Grandpa, for fishing? Hundreds, probably 30, 40 dozens, quite a few. I ask you guys, how many lures do you have in your tackle box to fish for men. You'll prepare to go fish for fish, but fishing for men, are you prepared? Do you have your tackle box? What will you say to that cold fish? What's your lure? Mine was, what would happen if you died today? There's hundreds of others, just like there's hundreds of shiny lures out there for fish. If you don't have a tackle box, start putting it together. Or I'm going to flat out say it like Spurgeon, I don't know that you're a Christian because you're not following Christ. You may be saved, but you're not working all the way that he says. You've only halfway made it. And even as Spurgeon would have said, unless you have commenced in some feeble way to tell others of the grace of God, and I trust you will find no rest to the sole of your foot till you do so. And I'll say the same thing too. I hope conviction falls on each and every one of us, each and every moment. And I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, he does this. Each and every one of us that is saved, that he convicts us until we do his work and we become fishers of men. I've been here for a couple years now. I've started out in the beginning telling you I'm an evangelist. But I find myself reaching a point of, God, how long do you want to talk to the dead? I look at our numbers and our faces. They're the same faces from 3 years ago. In 10 years, will it be the same? I know this church. I grew up in it. There aren't that many different people here now from when I was a little kid running in the aisles. Are we fishers of men? Or is this our castle? Our family community hall where we sing together. Churches to glorify God, to train and equip ourselves for his works. We can glorify God in here. We can try and train, but if we aren't doing the works, we have no fruit. And just like the Sunday school lessons this morning, faith without work is dead. Are we dead? If all we do is a soup supper once a year and we don't share Christ to each and every soul that we come across, do we have fruit? Luke 12. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward in whom his master will make ruler over his household? To them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat, drink, and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed these things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. And I'm telling you here today, you know what's coming. And you want to march to that beating? If you confess yourself as a Christian with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And you know you're no longer ignorant of his will. Just like me. When I let that first fish completely go because I wasn't ready, I wasn't even thinking of it at the time. Holy Spirit hit me hard and convicted me. Christ, when he came back to see how the disciples were doing after he hung on the cross, we get to John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar. This is how God found them to begin with. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. You see, the steward will be held accountable for what he's given. And Christ had given them the commandment of what they were to do already. He told them. He walked with them. He talked with them daily. And he comes back, and they're back to what they'd done before they even met Christ. And he asked them, did you have any food? And the answer was no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we allow God to talk to us and say, hey, I need you to go talk to this person. I need you to go to this place. You are not in the wrong place. I put you there. When we are obedient to him, he delivers. So they cast, and then they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And don't you think they had deja vu? We just did this 3 years ago. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will have some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, is it the Lord? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat. They were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. You see, this is that description of the steward right there for you. He came back when they weren't expecting. And held them accountable. What do you got? Nothing. Do what I tell you to do. And they catch. And then they're all sitting there eating breakfast and they can't even raise their heads enough to ask, are you the Lord? Because they knew they'd just been caught red-handed. John gives the account here later as Jesus takes Peter aside. Peter, his rock. And we know these verses. And he walks him through the love questions. Do you love me? Well, yeah, God, I love you. Really? Feed my sheep. He didn't say, do you love me, Peter? Believe in me, you'll be saved. No. That part had passed. Now it was, do my work. And if you don't do my work, do you really even love me? And he asked him three times. And finally, Peter got it on the third, and he fell to his knees and understood. James 1:22, you probably went over it this morning. We're to be doers, not just hearers of the word. Matthew 7. Yes, why we have to keep going over this? Why we have to be so excited about it? You know what? There will be a time when I'm just as accountable as anybody else, but I'll be sitting there in heaven looking across. And I would hate to see any of your faces on the other side of the void because you misunderstood. Matthew 7:16. Because you might be saying, oh, well, okay, as long as I'm out there doing his good will, I'm good, I'm okay. Just like the person on the street. There's two parts of this. We have to believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we need to do his work while we're here. We need to produce that fruit. So we do need to pay attention to both pieces of this, because otherwise we're going to end up like Matthew 7:16. I feel I'm looking out into an audience of two groups. One group that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and is very uncomfortable right now. Another group that hasn't really accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're going through the motions. I've talked to the first already. I'm going to try and talk to the second through Christ's word. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That means there will be people that say Jesus Christ is their Lord, but will be in hell. How can that be? Because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ, but you don't believe it in your heart to the core, there's a place for you, and it's not heaven. And I'm wearing the heavy shoes today because I don't want to see people in hell that I had a chance to explain it to. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are churches full today of people that want the title of Christian. Just the same as in the Old Testament, the women that used to say and cry, let us just use your name. That's all we want is your name. And they want to be identified with being a Christian because that's what their family did. Or maybe that's what their friends do. Or maybe that'll help them get ahead. Rub elbows with the right people. There are pews filled everywhere across the nation with that. And hell will be full of a bunch of them. And I pray this isn't a club to you. This isn't a tradition to you. That you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And not just confess it with your mouth, but believe it in your heart. And once you've done that, I pray that you understand your work is not done. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you how it reminds us, how it points out, how it magnifies, how it brings under scrutiny ourselves. It convicts us. It leads us. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit that is within us guide us each and every day. That we are obedient in listening to where you say to cast your net. God, forgive us of anything that we have walked away from, Lord. And grant us the wisdom to recognize the second chance, the third chance, the tenth chance, the hundredth chance that you give us. For us to be useful. Lord, if we have a heart that doesn't want to be useful, Lord, convict us of that. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will not give us rest to the soles of our feet until we are about the works of your Son, witnessing to the lost. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.